We were reading last night about the Bhakti Lata Bij, the creeper of devotional service. If we're very fortunate in this material life, wandering through the different species of life, coming to the human form of life, we can get the association of Guru Krishna Prasad, the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master. Then, within our hearts can be planted the seed of devotional service. Then we have to take care of that seed by hearing and chanting. We read about the mad elephant offense. So if there's a tree protected by a fence, keeping a fence around it, that's compared to regulative principles, following them, and associating with devotees. That constitutes the fence around the tree, the devotional creeper. In the beginning, the creeper is delicate, so you have to protect it. And that is the fence. Now, he will describe that when this nice devotional creeper is growing towards the spiritual world, sometimes weeds come in. Sometimes unwanted creepers, such as the creepers of desires for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, grow along with the creeper of devotional service. The varieties of such unwanted creepers are unlimited. Bhukti and mukti are mentioned in the verse. Then the next verse mentions a whole bunch of unnecessary creepers by different names, which are discussed. Nishi dachar kutinati jiva him shana labha puja pratishtari yata upa shaka gana. Synonyms: nishidha achar, behavior not to be exhibited by a person desiring to become perfect. Kutinati, diplomacy. Jiva himsana, unnecessarily killing animals or the soul. Labha, profit according to material calculations. Puja, adoration achieved by satisfying mundane people. Pratishta adi, becoming an important man in material calculations. And so on. Yata, all these, upashaka gana, unnecessary creepers. Translation: some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection, diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. Purport: there is a certain pattern of behavior prescribed for those actually trying to become perfect. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we advise our students not to eat meat, not to gamble, not to engage in illicit sex, not to indulge in intoxication. People who indulge in these activities can never become perfect. Therefore, these regulative principles are for those interested in becoming perfect and going back to Godhead. And that's the first unnecessary weed. If you want the devotional creeper to grow, then you have to behave. Having heard from the spiritual master, that's wonderful. But how are those instructions going to be nourished if this other creeper goes around and chokes it of misbehavior? That's the first one mentioned. People say they're following God or following the spiritual master or son of God, but they have to behave according to those instructions. Kutinati, or diplomatic behavior, cannot satisfy the Atma, the soul. It cannot even satisfy the body or the mind. The culprit mind is always suspicious. Therefore, our dealings should always be straightforward and approved by Vedic authorities. If we treat people diplomatically or duplicitously, our spiritual advancement is obstructed. The culprit mind is always suspicious. That means that we can't trust our mind. We want a good friend, but that friend is not our mind. Krishna is our friend, spiritual master is our friend, devotees are our friends, but not our mind. In other words, a friend you can always trust. Whatever Krishna says, we can trust. It's not that by trusting Krishna, then we get cheated. That is not the fact. But the mind is not to be trusted. And so we should act not using, for example, our intelligence and mind in devious ways. Our mind is deviously trying to manipulate us for sense gratification. And if we try to manipulate others, that's also duplicitous dealings. In other words, you can even be diplomatic with, or duplicitous with yourself in trying to get yourself some sense gratification. Or being that way with other people. Just like the politician, he says, oh, you're my dear friend. I will, if you elect me, I will see that your desires are fulfilled. But he just wants the person's votes. So he's afraid to say certain things. It's not straightforward. Thinking, well, if I do this, then they won't vote for me. And my objectives, later I'll come out and I'll do something else. And then later when someone comes to me and say, well, before you promised me this, but now you're doing this. But then I'll be so clever and duplicitous, I'll say something then too. Well, yes, it's all right. I said this, and then I said this. But actually, this is the position. And all the time, I'm simply trying to be clever and not tell the truth. Because I want to manipulate the situation or manipulate the person. This is duplicitous. Duplicitous means two. Duplicate. So what are the two? There's the truth. What I really want. What are my real intentions? What is the actual heart of my dealings with you? And then the other is what I'm saying. And what I'm doing. They're different. So they should be the same. I should say something, and then I should act on that level. And you may not want to do it, but if you don't, then you will not be able to make nice spiritual advancement. So which is more important? Jiva Himsana refers to the killing of animals or to envy of other living entities. The killing of poor animals is undoubtedly due to envy of those animals. The human form is meant for the understanding of Krishna consciousness, atato brahma-jigyasa, for inquiring about the Supreme Brahman. In the human form, everyone has a chance to understand the Supreme Brahman. The so-called leaders of human society do not know the real aim of human life and are therefore busy with economic development. This is misleading. Every state and every society is busy trying to improve the quality of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This human form of life is meant for more than these four animal principles. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are problems found in the animal kingdom, and the animals have solved their problems without difficulty. Why should human society be so busy trying to solve these problems? The difficulty is that people are not educated to understand the simple philosophy. They think that advancement of civilization means increasing sense gratification. There are many religious propagandists who do not know the ultimate problems of life can be solved, and they also try to educate people in a form of sense gratification. This is also Jiva Himsana. Real knowledge is not given, and religionists mislead the general populace. So, violence or animal killing, it's taken in different ways, is to kill the poor animals who don't have any sophisticated, developed kind of living, but they're living not on their own. Why disturb them? It's not your business to disturb them. Prabhupada says it is out of envy. The cruel person, he just doesn't like to see anyone happy or even living. And so he invents some sport or invents some so-called necessity for killing them. And but also, if he is not advancing spiritual life of himself or those he's dealing with, that is also killing of the soul. So killing of the soul is called an animal. Also, that can be done, that killing can be done, even though one is not a gross murderer. If in his dealings with others he doesn't impart any spiritual knowledge, then that so-called relationship is violence, himsa. These are all big weeds which prevent the growth of the bhakti lata bij. The next one is material profiteering. One should know that whatever material profit one has must be abandoned at the time of death. Unfortunately, people don't know that there is life after death. Therefore, mundane people waste their time amassing material profit, which has to be left behind at the time of death. Such profit has no eternal benefit. Similarly, that's the next one. Unnecessarily. So we want to make money for Krishna. That's a different thing. There's not mundane profiteering. Profit means, it's like we are a non-profit organization. Even if we get millions of dollars, it is non-profit because no person is getting some material benefit from it. We have been instructed very carefully by Srila Prabhupada how any money collected in Krishna consciousness should be spent. It is not for the profit of any individuals. But it all has to be spent for the society, for the spiritual, religious aims of this society. But if someone wants to be a devotee, but he's thinking, I want to make money, not for Krishna, but I want to make some money for something else, myself, that'll be very detrimental to his spiritual advancement. Mundane profiteering.
If one has the feeling that someone thinks that, well, I can make some money for Krishna, should he give up religious principles and his principles and devotee, but should he give up, say, life as life in the temple or something like that, so they can go and make money for Krishna? I mean, not with the pure motive to begin with, at least taking it. And I can make some money both ways. And they go and do it and give it all to the temple. I see they need money. Mm-hmm.
You can do that, but at least the our practical experience has not been that that's very good, that it's successful materially or spiritually. If you're thinking that I will leave the society of the devotees and the main thrust of the society, I'll go off and I'll concentrate my energy in the material world where everyone's making money, and I'll get this money and then bring it back and give it. It shouldn't be in such a way that there's such a disruption to your spiritual sadhana. Years ago, one of the devotees had all kinds of responsibilities in the movement, and then he went and tried to make big money in the rubies, mining rubies and selling rubies. Never made a lot of money and never came back. And always simply looking for the big money. That, so one understands that actually if any money ever comes, it's not coming into the society. Anyway, the money's not coming. So we have our book distribution business. Other than that, one can, Grihastha, he's expected to be able to do such business, but not like that, let me just about leave everything and then make some money. It's very, very risky. Because another principle is not to associate with the non-devotee. Just like in politics, Prabhupada said, we should just enter politics to preach. If you try to win by their standards, politics is extremely filthy business. You have to cheat and pay people, and if you really want to win. So when our devotees tried doing that, separate themselves from the society using man and money, and Prabhupada stopped that, and God We Trust Party. So you can do business, but you have to remain a devotee. I met one boy in Hawaii. He was doing a juice business, and he was getting up. The best time to make the juice, he said, was early in the morning. He would make the juice and then sell it that day. It was very popular with the stores, fresh juice. And he was doing it all himself, and he got up at the nice, auspicious Brahma Muhurta hour, and began to squeeze the juices. And he was just lamenting, now the business is getting bigger and bigger, I'm getting so many orders, and this is the best time, the only time to squeeze the juice. And then I bring it to the stores fresh. So, but what does he gain? The business was growing, it was just more and more headaches, and he had to work harder and harder and stay up at night, and simply working and working. Just like Gargamuni in Hawaii, he's got this big candle business. And Radha Balaba went out there to interview him for the biography. He said, yeah, I'll talk about Prabhupada for the biography. But he went out there, and day after day he went to see him. He was willing, but the business, it was so involved in the business, he was working till 12, 1 at night, every day on the business, and each day, well, at least today I can't talk with you about Prabhupada. I think tomorrow, I have to keep working. And day after day it was just, and his business is to make money for Krishna. But where's the devotee in the meantime?
You said Radha Balaba hadn't come back in a few months to talk with you?
Yeah, we got no interview. Maybe the business will cool off in a few months.
what can one do? He feels that the society needs money, and he feels kind of pain because
What money is he going to make? Everyone is trying to make money. Again, you're so naive that he's going to go out and make so much money.
Is it that as grihasthas, we've actually fallen short of what Srila Prabhupada wanted? Didn't he want that grihasthas would be able to make so much money that it wouldn't have to be all earned by the brahmacharis, by flowers and flowers and things? There wouldn't be a large income from grihasthas.
I never heard him say that. They expected a large income from the grihasthas.
That's what I was asking. I was wondering if it's like a shortcoming of us as disciples, or is it better for us to...
Well, it's very difficult if we were so... Most of the devotees, they have to be very sheltered with Krishna consciousness. And if they could do something with the business... So dirty that they fall down. Devotees are a little bit like the Indians, who are only, Prabhupada said, these Indians, they cannot, their material progress is artificial. They cannot do anything except chant Hare Krishna. So, mostly the devotees, they, better that they chant Hare Krishna, be that kind of a grihastha. Then be a big real estate man, then immediately suits come out and the long hair comes out, and then can't attend the programs, then the money doesn't go to Krishna anyway. Now, that day may come when we'll have everything. But the reality of it seems to be like that, that day. It's very difficult to follow this Krishna consciousness living. And also earn nice money and contribute. We have some persons who do it, like Atreya Rishi, but you can hardly count them on your two fingers of your hands.
When you were talking about duplicitous behavior, does that mention as diplomacy also?
Yeah, it says if we treat people diplomatically or duplicitously. And in its synonyms, it's kutinati, diplomacy.
Hmm. How would sometimes we have to say something in a nice way?
Hmm.
Is that diplomacy?
Yeah, because in the same Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's another purport where diplomacy was used. And Prabhupada said, even diplomacy can be used for Krishna. Raghunath Goswami, some people came to his house to arrest him because his parents didn't pay, and he spoke very nicely to them and satisfied everybody according to time and place. So that kind of calculated preaching by a devotee who's aware who he's preaching to and his goal is pure Krishna consciousness, that's diplomatic preaching with emphasis on preaching and a preacher. And then this manipulation of persons for different motives, not approved by Vedic authorities.
Tactful is really, it's permissible to be tactful in the end.
Yeah.
There's one example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of how you had actually read it earlier, how when Lord Chaitanya, before all the devotees went back to Bengal, and he was glorifying all the devotees, and the three devotees he instructed in three different ways. One was to live in the temple, one and take care of the deities, the other one was to associate with the devotees, and the third one, I think, was Mukunda, was a physician,
I think that a diplomatic abuse has come out when we have this strong sectarian feelings, like within our movement, dealing with each other. You know, supposed to be dealing as God brothers very simply. And then we deal like that.
Dealing between the
Like I said, Gurijan, you know, we should both try to just serve Srila Prabhupada, right? And try to spread Krishna consciousness. So I think the best way for you to do that would be for you to give your money to this project of mine and give your men to this project of mine. Because that's what Prabhupada wants, and he's... So why don't I say that you have your program and I have my program? Is there any way you could help my program? Is that, if I can, I will. Something like that. Not just diplomacy.
It seems to be such a detrimental thing.
Very
painful.
Yes, because we're all together under the banner of this philosophy. If the philosophy is put underneath, not only is put secondary, but then is used, then it becomes... So better I don't do that, even if others are doing it. Yes?
I was just thinking, the classes sometimes are necessary
to... Ah, yeah.
Because you explain to them what you want.
Yeah.
I always want to do that, especially little children.
Chicks and everything are permissible.
I don't mean to be able to pile up on you, but is part of this we also can be considered that you think that by getting money that will solve the key problems? Is that part of that? Also, are you thinking that if we had more money that would be a solution to that? It's really difficult.
Well, this doesn't talk about such money-making in Krishna consciousness. This is mundane profiteering. Money is the honey for a liberated person. You can use the money for Krishna. There's nothing wrong with the money. No, money won't solve our problems. Birth, death, disease, and old age. I don't know exactly what you mean. Whatever the stress for the householder in that chapter on ideal family life, that whatever he gets without too much endeavor, he should get for himself. So to make money in the material world, that's the whole thing is how much competition. So it's very difficult not to get involved in the ugra karma. And you make money, even if it's for Krishna, except by these devotee businesses or the preaching itself. You see those advertisements when the going gets rough. Read the Wall Street Journal, and it shows a businessman. They're jumping over hurdles, or they're racing against each other. Yeah, protected out here, but it's just what it is. They're just, you know, furiously fighting each other, although they're dressed up in business suits and briefcases, just trying to get ahead of each other, get up earlier, stay up later, cheat. Yes.
Something about that animal killing. What does that? What would be the place of something like, say, getting exterminating animals like cockroaches and rats, something like that? If they become overpopulated, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it has to be done. Prabhupada said it should be done, no killing should be done unless there is authority to do so. He's often indicated that it's our malpractice in being dirty that brings about these rodents and things. But he's also demonstrated that he was forced sometimes to take to extermination when they were running all over the deities and things like that. We're still on this one verse, the different things. Adoration by mundane people is valueless because after death one has to accept another body. Material adoration and title are decorations that cannot be carried over to the next body. In the next life, everything is forgotten. So you have to keep that in view all the time. I pay such a price to make some adoration of myself, and then I'll suffer so much and it'll all be finished. It's all gone. All these obstructions have been described in this verse as unwanted creepers. They simply present obstacles for the real creeper, Bhakti Lata Bij. One should be very careful to avoid all these unwanted things. Sometimes these unwanted creepers look exactly like the Bhakti Lata creeper. They appear to be of the same size and the same species when they are packed together with the Bhakti Lata creeper. But in spite of this, the creepers are called Upashaka. A pure devotee can distinguish between the Bhakti Lata creeper and a mundane creeper, and he is very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. We were discussing that in the class the other morning. Vamandev asked, what about you do something that seems to be enlivening? So, you have to know what is a maya? And what is the real thing? Brahmananda Maharaj was reading his reminiscences. He was saying how way in the beginning, when some devotees dressed up as Radha and Krishna, Indira was one of them, that they were doing this in New York, that some devotees were dressing up as Radha and Krishna, and the other devotees were going out with them to the park and enacting pastimes. And when they first started doing it, they fell into a complete sahajiya business. And Brahmananda was recalling, he said that some of the devotees came back, Purushottam, who later left, and some others, and they were saying, he said, well, this is the most exciting day we've ever had in Krishna consciousness. There's never been anything like this. But Brahmananda was describing it sort of sarcastically. He said it wasn't the same old boring Krishna consciousness. He said, but everyone was saying it, just everything had completely changed. And he reflected, he said, you have to watch out for that, because that's very dangerous. So there's nothing boring about Krishna consciousness, but with a humble heart, we have to make our progress dealing with the anarthas that are present and are according to time and place. So it's... He described here that these weeds, sometimes we think they're very nice. He said you have to be very careful to know what is. I gave some examples to Vamandev, the man leader of the women's Sankirtan party, feels that this is wonderful, spreading Krishna consciousness. Whereas actually his material desires are being enacted, and this is wonderful in that sense, that he's getting away with something in Krishna consciousness. And I gave some other example. What?
The rock.
The what?
The rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. They were really enlivened. That's what we always wanted to do. So, but a pure devotee can distinguish between the bhakti lata and the mundane creep, and he's very alert. Keep them separate based on Vedic conclusion. So, any questions more?
About that, I just read about honor. I think it was just one of the weeds.
Adoration?
Expecting adoration.
The Prabhupada points out that it has no profit because such adoration is temporary.
Should we think even if someone praises us for devotional service, that is at least in part that devotional service is also in relation to the body? Should we think that way also about devotional service?
Yeah, well, we should immediately not take the credit for ourselves. So you think that's false ego. Someone says, that service you did, that was just wonderful. So then we think, no, it was wonderful because it was Krishna. I remember once I was in Boston, when we just opened our center, some devotee came up to me after class and said, that was a very nice class. And I said, well, I said something like, I just repeating what Prabhupada said, or is wonderful because it's Krishna. And the devotee said, yeah, that's what I meant. That's why it was wonderful. And I remember having a feeling, oh, disappointed. So that meant that I didn't want it to be that Krishna was wonderful, or that it was wonderful because I was just repeating Prabhupada, but I had a false ego, this body, I had done something apart from Krishna, apart from the instructions of my spiritual master. So what you're saying, yes, it's like bodily adoration, subtle body, material, gross body. The obvious example is the materialists, all the popular stars or politicians, and they're adored. And then it's all finished at death.
Is the way to, when you recognize you have this, so on one hand, so you have to get rid of the weed. So there's the process of getting rid of the weed by just following the regulative process of bhakti yoga, or how do you pull it out?
I can give you an answer, and then also we can look forward to some verses and purports on this. But it's in this purport tonight, it says that there's some deliberate vigilance that has to be there. Not that just by going along everything will take care of itself, but I have to be vigilant and do it. Because, but automatically the weeds come. As you progress, just like in your garden, as your main plant grows, then the weeds grow. So there has to be some deliberate vigilance and activity to pick it away. You can't say, well, my creeper is growing, so everything is all right. No, my creeper is growing, and I have to protect it. See, I'm working in Krishna consciousness, why do I have to listen in the class? I don't have to attend the class. I'm already engaged. No, but we know that this is bad, not to attend to Shravana Kirtan. I think that point will be elaborated on. Yeah.
Well, is that these things that we're reading about, these weeds, these are the things we have to check when we're advancing in devotional service. And check these to see that they're not growing. And as I said, only a pure devotee can distinguish what are weeds and what are not weeds. So how can one help from falling in the trap of thinking that he's advanced by actually seeing his position, by checking these weeds? If he can see them, he might start thinking, oh, I'm so advanced because I can see the difference between these different things.
As always, that's done by following the footsteps of the great acharyas who never consider themselves advanced. You're pointing out that even if I see that there are creepers, there are bad things, and I work at them, that can bring about being puffed up. Anything can make us puffed up. Even our humility. We're very proud of our reputation of humility. So that's true. At every hand, at every turn, there's some difficulty of pride. Are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And just understand our real position. Just because I can see some weeds doesn't mean that I'm very wonderful. Rather, it means that I'm faulty. At least I can see them. I'm not that blind. But it's no cause for feeling very wonderful that I can see that I have weeds in along with my creeper. Rather, it makes me humble. That I thought I was pure devotee chanting Hare Krishna, I'd be the greatest devotee. But now I see, although I'm still practicing Krishna consciousness, for some time there are still these weeds. So by Krishna's grace, I'm able to see them. There's no pride for me. Still, I have some material desires. That doesn't make me feel very wonderful. If I couldn't see them, I'd be completely lost. At least I can still see what's right and wrong, and I'm trying to perfect. Why should it be a cause of pride to see some weeds? Yes?
Well, you said in that post that the weeds can even be of the same size and quality.
Species.
So how can one distinguish from the real plant if they are apparently identical? How can one determine which is
it? Well, he has to be just a very experienced, sincere devotee. It's like in the garden. One knows, I know what that is because we've seen these weeds before and we know what this leads to. Some newcomer may think, this is a nice plant growing also. No, I know what that species is. That is a completely useless weed. You just rip it up. Because there's no doubt, he knows what is a creeper and what is a weed. Although they may look alike, an expert farmer knows. So it's just a matter of knowing that, yeah, it looks good, but it's poison. That will lead to this. It's been stated by the acharyas, so we know about it from hearing. And we also have seen in our own experience what happens to devotees who do this. So just by, although it looks the same, we know what it is. And that's experience. And then sincerity will save us also by making us feel uneasy in the presence of the weed, even though it looks good. We'll just be able to understand that this is not what our spiritual master wants, that there's some motivation. All these weeds, they're taken up. They don't just happen to somebody. They're taken up by some kind of impurity in the heart for bhukti or mukti. So it means that it comes out in this way or that way, that I just want to make money for Krishna with my rock and roll band and spread Krishna consciousness. But actually I want to make passionate music and be a famous musician. But if I'm sincere enough, I know, well, it sounds good what I'm saying, but actually there's this desire is there. So if you're sincere, we'll spot it. John,
yeah.
Close the problem. Punch call.